You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUX webradio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Tuesday edition. You would think we're on the brink of World War III if you listen to the news, and it's all because of Donald Trump. Well, that's nonsense. What I'm referring to is a comment that President Trump gave in response to a question at a luncheon, and I'm going to play it because I want you to hear what's causing all this, let's say, noise, hysteria on the part of some. Let's listen in.
Make any more threats to the United States. They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen. He has been very threatening beyond a normal statement. And as I said, they will be met with fire, fury, and frankly, power, the likes of which this world has never seen before. Thank you.
That was a short comment by President Trump in response to a press question. And he was reacting to the threats of the North Korea dictator, Kim Jong-un. Kim is his last name, by the way. I listened to a lot of talk radio, and someone called up and said, he has a girl's name, Kim. Thinking it's Kimberly? No. In some nations, including Korea, the last name is used first. So it's Mr. Kim. What's going on here? Well, it's a war of words. It's rhetoric. You're going to hear that phrase. It's rhetoric. I always think of that child phrase, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, I think we've had a little exchange of words. No one got killed, although a lot of commentators, especially on big lie media, were having fits. This is not what presidents should say. How dare he say that? He happens to be president of the United States, and you're not. That's elections have consequences. And we no longer have appeasers in the White House. After 8 years of the former, doesn't that sound terrific, former President Barack Obama. Thank God he's not in the White House. And why are we here? You know, I don't want to get in the blame game, but I'm going to play at least have a sentence or two about this. This is the consequences of both Democratic and primarily Democratic, but also Republican actions and not standing up and using the time, valuable time that was wasted trying to deal with this guy and his family. It's a family like emperors, well, they're in the past. It's a family affair, this dictator. And remember, the Korean War, there's a ceasefire. It could start at any minute. Do I think it's going to start any minute? No, I don't. I'm not panicking here because I think a lot of people are jumping the gun. Maybe that's a poor choice of words. Getting way ahead of themselves. Something has to be done. That's clear. And these messages back and forth, why interesting and subject to a lot of conversation on talk radio, don't accomplish much. And I think what you have going on, and I think the dictator Kim knows this, is good cop, bad cop, where Trump's playing the bad cop and Tillerson is playing the good cop. Do you think it fools him? I don't think it does. Even Trump has said this guy's intelligence. He's not nuts. He's a sharp cookie. And what is he doing? He came to the conclusion after seeing the fall of Saddam Hussein and later Muammar Gaddafi that the United States would intervene in any country if it thought its national interest was threatened. Any country except those that have, and I mean truly have, a nuclear capability. North Korea has had that for a while. What was released in an article, apparently they're still leaking in Washington. I think this was a deliberate leak, though. I'm very suspicious of it. The Washington Post had an article that the Defense Intelligence Agency was doing an assessment of the nuclear capability of North Korea. You see, the big problem or challenge or difficulty with nuclear weapons, especially if you're going to use missiles to launch them as opposed to large bombers, is you need to miniaturize them, which means cut down their size, the volume, and the weight. And that is a challenge. It takes years to do this. And what North Korea has been doing with the years it's had is slowly but surely testing the nuclear weapons and the missiles. Part of it's being paid by the Islamic Republic of Iran. Remember, they have a lot of oil that they're selling. And thanks to former President Barack Obama, he negotiated what should have been a treaty, was called an agreement, that should be torn up at the first opportunity. And I think that's fast approaching because they're cheating. Everyone knew they would cheat, and they're cheating again. So that treaty should go or agreement in the trash can. We should put them on notice. And remember, every 90 days, the president has to report to Congress whether or not the Islamic Republic of Iran is complying with the agreement regarding nuclear weapons. I'm sure it's a matter of discussion at the White House, the State Department, and wait and see. I think within a year or less, that treaty will be another part of the legacy of Barack Obama that no longer exists. And hopefully, even before that, if Congress can get its act together, we'll have a repeal and replacement of Obamacare, and maybe a tax cut. Who knows? I think Trump might run against Congress. Maybe the Republicans better get their you-know-what together. And they're going to hear an earful when they go back home, which many are. I think, you know, the do-nothing Congress, I think Truman ran against the Republican do-nothing Congress. Well, I think we're going to get a replay. Now, keep in mind, if you're a new listener, I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I've given up on both political parties. I came to the conclusion over 10 years ago that the Republican Party was just another big government party, couldn't balance a budget to save its life, had no intention of even trying to do that. You notice there's very little discussion of that other than, well, we got to raise the debt ceiling. That's sort of an academic exercise. Of course they have to raise the debt ceiling. And that's coming up, fast approaching, and we'll hear statements, but they never seem to result in anything. We should balance the budget. We're not doing it. And neither President Trump's not going to do it. Now, he has a good budget director, but it requires a president being a champion of trying to doing that. And I haven't heard very, very little from the Trump administration in terms of truly cutting spending. If anything, he wants to expand defense spending and other areas. Oh, yeah, they've been cuts, but they don't amount to much compared to the big picture. And it looks like we're headed for a $600 billion deficit. In other words, we're spending over $600 billion for, I think, at least 100, 150 years. That was the total budget of the United States. I mean, less than that. It's only in recent times that it's so big, and we can't continue doing it, but there's no sense of urgency. And that is the problem with the United States government to get today, both in the House, the Senate, and the presidency. A sense of urgency is simply lacking. And we squandered literally, 20 years that we could have been dealing with the growing and increasing real threat of North Korea. But are we going to go to war with North Korea? Now, some people like to call up and vent and say, well, we should bomb them, launch some cruise missiles, use our nuclear weapons. I heard a former Air Force general, and I was in the Air Force, but I was the crowd that left after they changed their performance review system. They lost a ton of very, let us say, high achievers that got sick and tired of the gaming that was going on. But that's ancient history. But this general wanted to start a war, nuclear war. I guess killing 20 million people is chump change. The former Air Force generals, I didn't agree with his attitude. Now, let me make clear. If, and this is a big if, because I don't think he's nuts, and I think he's smart, and he's using words to taunt us, provoke us, but he knows. What is the United States looking for right now? And that's why you need to be real careful with all this war talk. They want a predicate, a provocation, a cause to start a war. At least some people do. In the Pentagon and in this administration and in Congress, especially the neocons. The neocons really want a war with Iran and Russia. They don't really want one with North Korea. Why? Because if you start to run the traps, in other words, an analysis of it, it would be a bloody, violent war. Millions would die on both sides, especially if it was an all-out conventional war, or for that matter, a nuclear war. And there would be damage. Seoul is, I believe, the second or third largest, you know, metropolitan area, and it's highly dense. There's, I think, 25, 26 million people in Seoul. Think about that. There's maybe 2 to 3 million in, well, if you say Dallas-Fort Worth, and that's a metropolitan area, it's over 3 million. This is 8 times that. I bring it up because if you listen to the testimony of our military leaders, I don't think they want to go to war. They know this would be a bloodbath on both sides. And the American people don't want to go to war. The North Koreans, I don't think, really want to go to war, despite what they're saying. And the South Koreans don't. The Japanese don't. I don't think the Chinese want it either, or the Indians. Who wants this? That's the question to ask, and I always say follow the money. And like I said, our warmongers in Congress, the neocons, they're banging the drums, but they don't want the war with North Korea. They have other countries that they'd rather the United States intervene on. I guess they haven't gotten the message of the elections. Donald Trump, if you followed the election, which I did, although I was skeptical, more or less ran as a non-interventionist. Remember, he kept on repeating, I was against the war in Iraq. I was against the war in Iraq. Now, people were skeptical of it and tried to knock it down. And who are the Never Trumpers? A large segment of the Never Trumpers are neocons, especially at the National Review. Now, you got to be careful here. There's some that understood what Trump was about, but there are others that they're really for big government. They're interventionists is the best way to say it. And that's why I gave up on the Republican Party. They want bigger and bigger government, not only to intervene abroad, but intervene in the U.S. economy. Now, I want to briefly define two words, because you're going to hear these words flying. Socialism and fascism. Socialism and fascism. I'm only going to define them because you got to understand what the end game is. In socialism, the government owns the property. It owns the businesses. Or what economists would say, the means of production are owned by the government, the state. I prefer using the word state, but that confuses some people that think I'm talking about the state of Texas. No, I'm talking about the central government, the state. But in America, we tend to use the phrase government. I much prefer state. And when the state owns all the property, they have to run the economy. And wherever socialism, whatever its name, communism, social democracy has been tried, it ultimately ends in disaster. It's been discredited. Yet, we have a lot of young people today that really don't know what it is, but are for it. I call that the ignorant. Note, I didn't say they were stupid. I'm ignorant on a broad range of topics. Most people are. No one can keep up with everything. We're human beings. We're not gods. We're not artificial intelligence. We're human beings. We have limited capabilities, and we have a limited time. You can't be up on everything. It's a challenge being up on the news every day. But if you're running an economy and it's run by committees, they simply don't have the capability as humans to do it. Even as assisted by modern-day computers, they can't do it. And why? People's preferences, taste, wants are changing all the time in reaction to prices and changes in quality. You see, knowledge is spread across the entire population of the United States or any other nation. And no government, no state can have the knowledge to run an economy. And eventually, they come to that conclusion, usually when it's way too late. North Korea is a basket case. It's a totalitarian regime. You don't want to live there. It's a communist state. It is socialism, and it's failing. They've used what scarce resources they have. Their number one priority was what? We have to have nuclear weapons to prevent the United States from invading our country. We don't want South Korea allied with the United States to overthrow his regime, because he saw what happened in Iraq. He saw what happened in Libya. He's seeing what's happened or trying to happen in Syria. So he made the calculated decision, and it was over 20 years ago, that by God, I'm going to get a nuclear capability, both the nuclear weapon and the ability to deliver it through a missile. Now, whether you like him or not, from his point of view, it was probably a good idea, especially, and this is going to be my second part of the show, if you had some help. Now, who do you think would help them? Remember, this nation has been subject to sanctions for over 10 years. Sanctions are not new, and if you've listened to the past shows, I'm not a fan of sanctions. They take too long. It requires virtually all or all other nations to truly enforce the sanctions. You only need a few nations that will cheat, and the sanctions won't work. But the number one nation that was helping him was who? Communist China. Now, Communist China figured it out, especially after the total failure of the Great Leap Forward of Mao Zedong in the late 50s. They had a plan, a Great Leap Forward, and it was a total failure. And the estimates are anywhere from 35 million to 70 million Chinese, native Chinese, died because of the incompetence of Mao's Great Leap Forward. It wasn't a Great Leap Forward. It was genocide, state genocide, killing its own people. And let me remind you, the state or the government are the leading killers of, guess what? Not only their own people, but people abroad. That's why I favor limited government. I don't want a huge, growing, interventionist government. And that's what we've had in the United States for decades now. After World War II, General Eisenhower, but then President Eisenhower, warned us of the military-industrial complex. And it was new. Today, it's big business. Not only aerospace, but equipping our air forces, our navy, shipbuilding, missiles, tanks, armored personnel carriers. And armies need food, ammunition, logistical support, and the staging of supplies in dozens of countries. It's big business. Yes, there is fraud, waste, and abuse. Where? In government in particular, but the Department of Defense, big time. You see, I'm for a strong defense. I truly am. But what I'm against is the American empire. And that's what we've become. Now, I was talking to someone, and he said, well, we don't have any colonies. Of course we don't have any colonies. The empires that had colonies failed. And ultimately, empires fail. In World War I, what empires bit the dust? The Russian Empire, because of the Bolshevik Revolution when the communists took over under the leadership of Lenin. What other empire? The German Empire. They fell. The monarch fled the country, Germany. Kaiser Wilhelm, the Kaiser. The Austro-Hungary Empire fell. And what other empire? The Ottoman Empire. The Caliphate. We're hearing that word more and more, that what the radical Islamic terrorists want is to establish a new caliphate and spread the Muslim religion worldwide. You know, in some respects, the communists and the Muslims are similar, and they want to dominate and be supreme over the world. It doesn't work out too well, because guess what? People resist. People don't like empires pushing them around. Inevitably, it leads to war, and it led to World War I, and five empires disappeared. And the remaining one, there are actually several, France was on the winning side. So was the United Kingdom and Japan, the Imperial Empire of Japan, and the new empire. We were just in the baby stages, but we were an empire, the United States. Remember the Philippines? I bring that up because the fate of empires is they overreach and they lead to war. They overreach because if you want an empire, and some of them lasted hundreds of years, but ultimately they all fail because it requires a lot of spending first and foremost on a military, a large military. I want to ask you a question. Who has the largest military today in terms of just people? It's not the United States. Oh, we're up there, but it's not the United States. It's China, folks. China. And China has a long history of empires. You see, despite the neocons being, let us say, obsessed with Russia and Iran, and I'm concerned about Iran, not so much Russia, the long-range threat to the United States is China. Now, China has problems. It is ruled by the Communist Party. Is it socialism? Well, parts of the economy still are. But I gave you the definition of socialism. It's where the state owns businesses or the means of production. What's fascism? That's where there's still private property. There's still businesses. There's still employers. And there are. But who controls the firms, the industries, the government, the state? And that's where we were headed in the New Deal. Cartels were being formed by our government. Ultimately, the Supreme Court overruled what the Roosevelt administration was doing, thank God. But you need to understand the difference. We were close. Some would say we had a fascist government. Because in the 30s, that was the rage. That was the Italy under Mussolini. That was the future. The Soviet Union, that was the future. National socialism, that was the future. What happened to all those states? Well, even our ignorant people, not stupid, just ignorant of history, know that Germany lost World War II. I think they're still teaching that in world history. And we know the fate of Mussolini. The communists hung him from a lamppost, him and his mistress. And then Italy had to put up with the communists. You see, the socialist, whether they're fascist or socialist, they both are big government. They're for big government, a big state where the state's control. It's to the extent of the control. In socialism, the state owns the businesses. And that's still going on in communist China. It still goes on for sure in North Korea. The People's Army owns a lot of the business. They're state enterprises and controls it. So you need to know those two terms because I'll tell you, you're going to hear a lot about those two terms in the future. And you need to at least have the basic definitions. Hitler didn't need to own the businesses. He controlled them. The government told him what they needed. He didn't take over the property except for the Jews. He stole and rewarded his own people by initially, under the Nuremberg laws, restricting Jews from which occupations and businesses they can be in, professions. Ultimately, though, he stole their property and killed them. He wanted land. He looked east to Poland and ultimately Russia. We've had some experience with that in the United States. I think you've heard of President Andrew Jackson. In some places, especially on the left, amongst historians, he was a people's president. I think his portrait is hanging in the Oval Office. Well, what was Andrew Jackson noted for? Removing the Indians, stealing their property, and chasing him ultimately in Oklahoma, north of here. So we've had some experience with presidents that wanted to rid the United States of the Indians. Now, I'm not arguing that it was anything comparable to the genocide either in communist China, the Soviet Union, Nazi Germany. We were dealing with a lot smaller numbers, but there were Indians, farmers, especially in the South, but in other parts as well. Their property was confiscated and they were chased out of that land. And the leader of that movement One of them was Andrew Jackson, a president of the United States, whose picture today is in the Oval Office. I'm not a fan of Andrew Jackson, and like any president, some things he did I agree with, but a lot that he did I don't agree with. If you talk to any ancestor that has Indian blood in them, they don't like Andrew Jackson. He's not one of their favorite presidents. But a lot of historians think he was just super duper. Let's get back to North Korea. Who helped North Korea get a nuclear capability? It's communist China, folks. They're responsible for this. They provided the resources. First, the money and the trading. Who is North Korea's biggest trading partner? China. And it goes both ways. Who lets North Korea use their banks? And remember, China as well as North Korea, because especially North Korea, because there are very few nations that will do business with them. They need money. So who's funding North Korea besides the Chinese? See, the Chinese need oil and natural gas. Who has oil and natural gas? If you're listening or following the news even casually, you know. Saudi Arabia has a lot of oil, but who has a lot and it really is desperate for foreign exchange? It's the Islamic Republic of Iran. Where do you think they're getting the nuclear weapon technology and the missile technology? From North Korea. And who enabled North Korea to develop their weapons? They didn't do it overnight. It was gradual, slowly but surely. I'm bringing it up for a reason. There's a lot of focus today. Well, what are we going to do militarily with North Korea? The answer is everyone is hoping we do absolutely nothing militarily. Because if we do, it's a high probability we'll end up in a minimum of a conventional war with millions being killed on both sides. And if it's a nuclear war, tens of millions of people. Who wants that? I don't think it's the American people. I don't think it's South Korea. I really don't think it's North Korea. And I don't think the Chinese want it for the simple reason they don't want millions of North Koreans fleeing their country into China. And you need to look at a map. And I provided a map. And before I forget, the way you listen to the Prompt Pop Show is to go to my companion blog. That's promptpops.wordpress.com. Prompt Pops, promptpops.wordpress.com. And under my photograph of yours truly in the studio, you'll see links to the most recent shows, typically 60 to 80. Sometimes a little more, but at least 60. And under that, you'll have photographs, cartoons, articles, charts, videos, mainly YouTube videos. On what? The news story that I'm commenting about and sharing opinions on. And I have a lot of information, or actually too much information. I played you the clip of President Trump's comment that it was in my mind, it's a 1 or 2 day news story. And I think it's right. Trump is playing the bad cop, and Tillerson, the Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, former chairman of Exxon, our largest oil company, he played the good cop. They're trying to convince North Korea to give up their quest for nuclear weapons. Do you think talk is going to work like what Trump said? No. Put yourself in the position of Mr. Kim. What do you think he's going to do? He's saying, hey, I know what happened with Muammar Gaddafi. I saw what happened in Iraq with Saddam Hussein. I heard statement after statement, red line after red line of President Barack Obama going after Assad. We're still going after Assad. There's no real good side in that civil war. It's a religious, sectarian civil war. I think you've come to the conclusion I'm not an interventionist. I'm with the founding fathers. We'll trade and do business around the world, but we should stay out of wars that are not our business. Unfortunately, today we have a military, our State Department, our foreign diplomats, and industry that favor a large, growing capability to support our empire, to support our intervention in country after country after country, despite the fact that the United States Constitution gives the power to Congress to declare war. They ignore it. And I'm not saying there has to be a specific wording of the declaration. I understand you can go to Congress and get an authorization. But the reason why the founders was wise and did not let the president unilaterally, preemptively go to war is because they saw, based on history, what monarchs in Europe were doing. Europe was a battlefield for hundreds of years. And if they don't watch out, they might become a battlefield again. If the Islamic Republic of Iran, with the assistance of North Korea, backed by Communist China, the Islamic Republic will have missiles that can reach Europe as well as Saudi Arabia and Israel, all of which are U.S. allies, and under NATO, Article 5, the United States is required by treaty, a real treaty, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, to defend the growing NATO alliance. I'm lost count. I think it's up to 25, 26. You see, treaties have consequences. That's why the Founding Fathers said treaties must be passed by two-thirds of the Senate. But we have rollover Republicans that, and I mean Republicans, that made sure that that didn't apply. This wasn't a treaty. If anything was a treaty, it was the deal that Secretary of State Kerry and President Obama supposedly negotiated. They really rolled over. He wanted a legacy. Yeah. Iran has nuclear weapons. They haven't tested them. The North Koreans are doing that. They've had now 5 nuclear tests, underground tests. So we don't know exactly how powerful that is. It's estimated that the last one was somewhere in the 20 to 30 kiloton range, about 2 to 3 times what the nuclear explosions over Japan. First Hiroshima, and yes, it's tomorrow is August 9th. That was the day that the United States dropped the second nuclear bomb on Nagasaki. Now, you'll get a debate, but I believe Truman was right in dropping it. He had to convince the militarists that controlled the state and the emperor to finally surrender, and they did. And many of those militarists after the war were hung. Not enough of them, though. You see, there's a price to pay when you support a state that is intervening around the world. And the price is the empire ultimately declines and falls. It doesn't end well. That's why I do not support military budgets that are geared to nation building and policing the world. No one appoints as cop, and in case you haven't looked what the national debt is and what the unfunded liabilities are, we're broke. And our militarists, they're cheerleaders on talk radio, Republican radio. You know what always annoys me? And there are a lot of lawyers. I have good friends that are lawyers. I'm not against lawyers. But a lot of talk show hosts are attorneys. They are articulate. They can express themselves. But very, very, very few have served a single day in the military, whether on regular duty or the reserves. But they're the cheerleaders. They're the backers. They're the clappers, banging on the drums. When you were young, you didn't serve a day in the military. That's what burns my you-know-what. They were busy going to law schools. And during the Vietnam era, avoiding the draft. Now, I'm against the draft. A draft is to impress one of the powers of a government. Well, there are two major ones. One is taxes. That's coercion, taxes. The second is to conscript people, force you into the military, force you to serve. That's what was going on. That's the selected service. Ever hear those ads? There's some kid applying for some government job and, oh, we're sorry, we checked and you didn't register with the selective service, so you can't get a job. Your national government, your state in action. I'm for a voluntary Army, Marines, voluntary force. I'm glad we don't have the draft today. But when we did, and even afterwards when we didn't, we need volunteers. We need people that believe in their country and want to serve. And today, a very small percent of the population serves in the military. Now, I'm not arguing to go back to a draft. Don't take my words wrong. That's why I want to be very, very clear here. But it sort of gets me when the biggest cheerleaders have never served even a day, not even the reserves. I don't care whether you signed on for 2, 3, or 4 years. And yeah, we have a president. He didn't serve. He had his deferments. See, I volunteered, but I'm not bragging. And yes, at least President Trump is appointing a lot of generals, but you got to be careful there. Many of them are globalist interventionists. They have their political backers in Congress. And there's some sharp people. I'll be the first to say, putting politics aside, he has picked some terrific generals. But if you served in the military, what you quickly find out, all generals are politicians. Preferably, you want those that were promoted because of their success on battlefields. Preferably, you would like no battlefields, but given the fact that the United States intervenes, stick around, there'll be a war or a police action or some intervention in a country. So I hope President Trump is picked right. I think he has. You see, the military know that if we go to war with North Korea, millions of people are going to die. And that's what has to be kept in mind, because you better get the support of the American people. Now, today, a lot of people that are ignorant, don't know the situation. They want to lob the missiles, launch the B-1, B-2, B-3 bombers. And you're hearing that drumbeat on the Potomac. The warmongers are beating it. But the neocons are smart. They know whether it's conventional or nuclear, it's a high risk, very dangerous game. And it's not a game. The stakes are high here. And the people that will pay the price are the people in North Korea and South Korea and maybe Japan. And Taiwan and Philippines are not that far away. And I know Mr. Kim has threatened Guam. Whether he can do it is something else. But it's words. It's words. You don't launch a military strike where the consequences are death, destruction, wounded, and at least hundreds of thousands, if not millions. Now, you want options. The military is always planning. I'm sure we have plans with war with Mexico. We might even have a plan with war with Canada. I'm joking, but people at work in the Pentagon, part of what they do is plan. And yeah, there are a lot of plans regarding North Korea. And they've been looking at it for a long, long time, over 65 years and counting. Remember, it was a ceasefire. It was an armistice, the Korean War. And it looks like, if you listen to big live media, that we're going to war. It sounds like it. And let's blame President Trump. Excuse me? You see, we have in North Korea a dictator that fears the United States. He does. And that's why he has spent precious, scarce resources to develop a nuclear capability. And he knew he needed a delivery system. Bombers were out. Fighters were out. The only true delivery system was going to be missiles, especially solid fuel missiles. And where did he get all this technology? Where did he get the resources? It's from China, folks. Now, who is one of our major trading partners? China, big time. Who does the United States have the biggest trade deficit with? China, big time. They're number one. Now, I'm for free trade. As an economist, I know all the benefits and believe in free trade. But Donald Trump is right. Nations cheat, including the United States, but nations cheat when it comes to trade. They have what's called non-tariff barriers, as well as currency manipulation, which makes it difficult and in many cases impossible to truly trade in China and other nations. Japan comes to mind. What should we do? You see, I don't think it's wise to really have all this propaganda, and that's what's being largely broadcast on big lie media as well as in the newspapers. It's preparing the American people for a war. You're being prepared. You're being manipulated by propaganda and from some very competent, credible people. Suddenly, in a Washington Post, it appears like magic. North Korea has miniaturized the weapons. They might have as many as 60 nuclear bombs. Don't believe it. I'm warning you, you're in a situation where big lie media, your television networks, and that includes Fox, are trying to prepare you for the possibility of war with North Korea. He ran that he was a great negotiator. He also complained loudly and often about China and its unfair trade practices, and I agreed with him. I didn't vote for him, but I agreed with him. I was concerned, though, that he was a protectionist. although he denies it. What do I recommend? Who enabled North Korea to develop those weapons? The prime enabler was Communist China for decades. They don't want U.S. forces as well as South Korean forces on their border. They don't want a unified North and South Korea. Both countries in the early 50s were undeveloped countries. That's what they were called. But since the ceasefire, South Korea has developed as a nation. It's an industrial power. It can compete on the world markets. Go into any Walmart or any retail store and look at the televisions, the flat screen technology. See, I can remember when the United States was the leader in manufacturing television sets. Not anymore. We lost those consumer electronics decades ago. But today, the leading manufacturer, one of them, is South Korea, and it's competing with also Japan and other nations. We live in a world today where trade is happening every single second minute of the day, and it benefits everybody. The expansion of trade raises the standard of living of both parties to the trade. We benefit, and whoever's trading with us benefit. It's a free exchange. You don't have to buy, if you don't want to, a television set made in South Korea. The leader in flat screen 4K television sets. And I had a phone from them. You know the name. The one that had the problems with the batteries catching fire. They're the leader. But there are other companies. And they're a competitor with Apple. But where does Apple get its goods manufactured? In China. See, at one time, almost all these goods were produced in the United States. Not anymore. And it's too late now. Maybe. You see, Donald Trump has a golden opportunity. And Donald Trump is not stupid. He's not crazy. He knows that the leverage that the United States has over North Korea is through China. China bears most of the responsibility, not for the rhetoric, but the transfers of technology, know-how, equipment, even the launchers, the specifications, how to manufacture these weapons. You don't have to look very far as to where they came from. China. But there are other nations that have that capability, and China enabled North Korea to get access. If the Chinese didn't have it, they could get it from other countries. Pakistan, for example, they are a nuclear power. There are only 9 nuclear powers that we know of. Now, with North Korea, that's 10. And with Iran, that's 11. Remember I said I wasn't sure the number was 9 or 12? That we know of and more or less sure of is 9. There are a couple of others that were not. And the two are North Korea, which, if you believe the Washington Post leak story right out of the Defense Intelligence Agency, their assessment of the capability, the nuclear capability and the missile capability, primarily the nuclear capability, North Korea can now has a miniaturized version of a nuclear weapon that they could put on a solid-state missile that could reach the United States, including Guam, Anchorage, Hawaii, and points along the West Coast. How many do they have? That's a question. Because we don't have very good human intelligence on North Korea and limited signals intelligence. And a lot of it is from our allies that may have a better inroads. What I'm suggesting, and I will not be surprised if President Trump pursues this, and he should pursue it in private initially, but at some point, clue the American people, at some point he's going to have to do this. The word should go forth, if it hasn't already, and I think it might have. I'm not sure of it, though. Let's say when you hear nothing, that's a good indication that maybe the word has been spread. You see, at one time, there was a ban on trade with who? Communist China. Given the fact that it was the Communist Chinese that enabled the North Koreans to develop this threat to first and foremost the United States, but also our allies, South Korea and Japan and Taiwan and the Philippines and even Australia, a major trading partner with Communist China, may I point out. They need raw material, commodities. China needs commodities. That is the leading export they're getting from around the world. Yeah, the Chinese will export their manufactured goods, and in exchange, largely what they're getting are the raw materials to produce the goods that they're selling us. And we have allies. Australia is the one I'm really thinking of that's in the area. That's a major, major supplier of raw materials to Communist China. Communist China needs that. What I'm suggesting that we tell the Communist Chinese, the people that are running the country, they're communists, they're socialists, even though there are businesses not owned by the Communist Party or the government. It's a combination communist-fascist. That's why I gave you those definitions. You better believe the Chinese government controls those businesses. And a lot of Chinese want to come to the United States. There should be clearly communicated to the communist Chinese state that you have to 1 January of 2018, and that's negotiable. It could be sooner, it could be later. We're reasonable, and Donald Trump is a terrific negotiator. Just read his books. Communist China, you enabled this mess. You cause the problem. You rein it in. You destroy. You tell them they will destroy their missile capability and their nuclear capability. And if it's not accomplished in a timely manner, where time is of the essence, we will unilaterally impose a trade ban as well as an investment ban on all communist Chinese produced goods. Any questions? You see, I have studied history, and I've lived in Taiwan, by the way. I'm just throwing that out as some information. The Chinese are good negotiators. They're good businessmen. And the United States has been played for a fool. Yes, we've benefited. I was having lunch today before I came to the college, the studio. I looked at the plate. The plates that I have my lunch on, my breakfast on, were made in China. The utensils I used were made in China. The radio I was listening to was made in Japan. It was a Sony, but it's an old radio. I don't have a television set, but if I did, it probably would be a South Korean 4K television set. We live in a world of competition. Nations specialize in those goods and services that they have a comparative advantage in, and their benefits of trade. And the standard of living of all nations, where the trade is free as well as fair. In other words, people aren't cheating or engaging in non-tariff barriers, is what economists call them, to keep U.S. goods out. It's a win-win situation. American consumers know this. I'm wearing clothes not made in China. I want to say Burma or Vietnam. I forget the country offhand. Underwear, for some reason, is not made in China. It's made in the Caribbean, Dominican Republic, wherever. I ate bananas. Well, that didn't come from China or Japan for breakfast. Milk. The milk came from the United States, I think. But the bowl was certainly from China, and the spoon was from China. You see, there are very few countries, and really not the developed, they're really poor countries, that are not getting goods today from dozens of countries. And that has led to higher standard of living in both the exporting and importing countries. And yes, there are going to be trade imbalances. But where communist China has run massive deficits with the United States, what does it do with that money? Well, that some of that money went into paying for those nuclear weapons that North Korea has. We need to use our leverage, and it needs to be explained to the American people what we're up against. Now, it's up to communist China to decide what do they want to do. You see, it's really their problem. They caused the problem. And it's really a trap to try to get the United States to intervene. Well, the United States shouldn't intervene, but we have leaders that in the State Department and in the Defense Department that are for the American empire. They don't particularly like North Korea because, yeah, they've done a lot of plans on that. And the options really don't look very good. Oh, yeah, we can win. You know, if the question is, can we win? Of course we can win. If we wanted to go nuclear, North Korea would be over in less than an hour. We do have submarines in the Pacific Ocean with nuclear missiles that can hit from far, far away North Korea. We also have bombers in the Pacific that can launch cruise missiles as well as conventional and nuclear. And we have destroyers that can launch nuclear and conventional missiles. But has it come that the United States wants to kill upwards of 25, 26 million people because of rhetoric, words? I don't think so. That's why I say the American people don't want war. Donald Trump couldn't get a declaration of war on North Korea. I know a lot of people see it as a threat. I see him as a threat. But you got to look behind it. North Korea is a surrogate. We don't want another surrogate war. We fell for that in Vietnam. And over 53,000 Americans lost their lives. Thousands have lost their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now, I'm not debating the wisdom of going in. But as long as you have an interventionist first strike, preemptive attack, and you believe you're right, it's a great temptation. But before we have either a conventional or a nuclear war, it's time for President Trump and his administration to use their skills in negotiation and make it clear what's going on to the American people. This has to be explained to the American people. They don't follow this. Oh, they hear the headlines. They certainly heard that Donald Trump, fire and fury and power, the likes of which you have not seen. The anti-Trumpers, the delusional Democrats, and their pals in big lie media, they were over and over again repeating it. The president shouldn't have said that. Excuse me. What's going on here, folks? Let's cut through the BS. It's communist China that funded and gave the technologies, the information, the science to North Korea. They were not the only ones. I understand that. But they enabled what North Korea didn't have. They could buy using their banking system from other nations that don't care about sanctions. There's always black markets. If you've lived abroad, you know what I'm talking about. You see, it's time for President Trump to use his skills. He doesn't have to do it personally. He supposedly knows the world's greatest negotiators. Well, put him to work. Should it be done in public? Initially, no. It depends how communist China responds. Because they lie, folks. Remember, oh, their leader came over, met with Trump, and we're going to cut stock coal. Well, within months, they were importing coal. Trade actually expanded. I think President Trump learned a lesson there. You can't trust the Chinese. And don't worry, the Chinese know you can't trust the Americans. But we're in a situation where who would be hurt most if there was a ban in trade? I'll tell you who it is. It's the communist Chinese. Remember, every day in the United States, every month, for example, about 130 to 150,000 people enter the labor market for the first time. Now, that's a big number, but it's every month. That's the minimum number of new jobs you need to create to keep the unemployment label not declining, just stable as what it is. How many people do you think in communist China enter the labor market each month? It's not 130,000 to 150,000. I think it's actually higher in the United States, probably 160,000. But that's a detail. They're all estimates. It's a range. That's the rule of thumb. Talk to economists. Some think it's higher, some think it's lower. But there's a lot of people, your children, whether they drop out of high school or college or graduate and then go for a job, that enter the labor force. They need a job. Their first job, to earn a living. Well, how many people in China do you think? I'll tell you, it's not hundreds of thousands. It's millions. And if they can't find jobs, what happens? You have a lot of unrest in China. You see, the Chinese suppress dissent. What they really look for is when more than one person, in other words, they don't care. I say they don't care. Words are words. What they fear is people organizing collectively to challenge the Communist Party, the state. That's what they truly suppress. They are an authoritarian and totalitarian regime. Maybe not as bad as North Korea, but a close second or third. They don't want millions of Chinese labor that can't find jobs marching in the street. That is a direct threat to their regime. They know where that leads. And they know what they did. When I say they, the Communist Party, when they came to power, they killed people, a lot of people. Business owners, surprised. Landowners, surprised. Their political opponents, no matter what stripe they were. They killed them. They hung them. They tortured them. They imprisoned them. That's socialism. That's communism. And that's also fascism. So it's about time that the United States, under a leader that's not an appeaser, and I really don't think is an interventionist, it is time to use leverage with the communist Chinese regime and tell them either you disable and destroy the nuclear capability and the missile capability of North Korea. We don't care how you do it. We do, but it better get done. Otherwise, you face initially a total embargo, no trading into the country and no exports to your country. And we will organize our allies, Japan, South Korea, Australia, New Zealand, and other nations, and make sure that you feel the brunt of the sanctions for causing this mischief. And this, he's not a madman. He's doing it for self-defense, but he's somewhat out of control in terms of his words, and he's making a serious mistake. He's not dealing with President Obama. He's not dealing with George W. Bush, and he's certainly not dealing with Bill Clinton. This problem has been festering and festering and festering, and neither the State Department, the administration, Democrat or Republican, and also the Defense Department, has dealt with it. It is time that we use the leverage that we have, and we don't have that much, but we do have it with China. You created the mess, you end the mess. You created the monster, you put a stake in the monster. We don't want war, and we don't want to invade North Korea, but you made sure that North Korea had this capability. We're not going to get sucked into a surrogate war. We're going to make sure that either you destroy it or you're going to pay a very, very high price that might lead to the overthrow of your regime. You have to talk tough. You don't do it in public initially. But if it doesn't succeed and you're not getting anywhere, then you go public. And the communist Chinese don't want the United States to go public with this. Will the American people suffer? Yes. It gets back to you got to pay a price. No more cheap Chinese plates, utensils, and other goods. And I might say the plates, unless you break them, they're okay. The utensils, not so much. And I have other goods, but it is somewhat embarrassing. I won't say every good, but a lot of the goods you buy in a Walmart or other retailers, made in China, made in China, made in China. I can remember when it was made in the United States. So what I'm recommending to the President of the United States, and I think he should be, how should I say, receptive to this. As a matter of fact, I think he should embrace it. But initially, do it quietly, but firmly, so there's no misunderstanding, and you make clear we're watching, and if you double crosses like you did last time, come January 1st, 2018, none of your goods are coming into the United States, and none of our commodities are going to your country. And we'll try to make sure as many of our allies, both in Europe and in Asia, around the world, support it. Because you are behind this. We're not fooled by your duplicity. A backward country like North Korea doesn't go nuclear, miniaturizing both the weapons, and they're getting the launchers from, it's based on a Chinese specification, for crying out loud. You can see it. Now, there's one other thing, and I'll just mention this. Yeah, it's going to mean prices of some goods, maybe even a lot of goods, are going to go up. But what's going to happen? There are other nations that will take up the slack around the world, as well as businesses in the United States that will. Remember, at one time, you see, I can remember far back when Japanese cars were junk. Their toys were junk. I used to ride in Japanese cars when I was in Taiwan. They were junk. But over the years, they got better and better and better. Why? They emphasized quality. And now they're a major competitor for many decades now of U.S. automobile companies. We live in a global world where competition is key. That's what drives down prices. That's what drives up quality, drives down prices, and raises the standard of living of both parties, where it's a voluntary exchange of goods. What the United States needs to do is to attract capital from around the world of businesses that want to invest in America. America is a good place to invest and start a business in, and it could be a lot better if we had a tax system that provided positive incentives to do that. And that's why I've been arguing for years now in many shows, not every week, but maybe every month or two, that we need a broad-based consumption tax. We need to replace our income tax system entirely. Scrap it. It's a drag. The United States economy is stagnating. It should be growing at 4, 5, 6%. I agree with Donald Trump. It's not going to grow at 4, 5, 6% when we have a tax system that was designed in 1913 and now is so complex nobody understands it. Nobody wants it. They want it scrapped. And we have a Congress that can't get anything done even when they have 7 years to repeal and replace Obamacare. You see, both parties are big government parties. That's why, do I think we're going to get fundamental tax reform along the lines of a broad-based consumption tax? For example, the fair tax, or my version of it, the fair tax less? No. We have powerful interests that have a vested interest in a tax system that's dragging down the competitiveness of the United States economy. If we had a broad-based tax system that replaced all federal taxes, we would have no tax on income, no tax on capital, and there would be a flood of money, not only from U.S. companies, but international companies that compete in the world. The place to invest would be the United States again. That's how you get jobs, Mr. President. That's how you grow an economy at 4, 5, 6%. Not with this tax system that's obsolete. It should be thrown in the scrap heap. And I'm not the only one pushing this. This is not a new idea. It's going on 20 years. And look at what's happened in 20 years. What's happened to the economic growth rates of this country? They've gone down, down, and down. As government has gotten bigger and bigger, as we've intervened in country after country after country and raised the taxes again and again and again, what happens to our economy? Our young people can't find jobs. It's the state that's the problem. The government is the problem. They can't balance a budget to save their lives. They can't reform taxes, and they can't even reform Obamacare that was a job killer. So, Mr. President, go for a ban on all Chinese imports to this country. No investments anymore in our country, and no more exports to China. If the Chinese don't respond in a positive, prompt manner, that's what you should be doing next year. And take the message to the American people. And don't listen to your big government Republicans and big government Democrats. They're not your friends. And big lie media will continue to lie and issue fake news after fake news. Now, some of you will say, he must be a Trump supporter. No, I was not. I no longer trust Democrats or Republicans and politicians in general. They lie, mislead, deceive, and betray their oath of office to the American people. And there will be a day of reckoning. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.